There's an old saying that you become the average of the five people you spend the most time around. Now, whether that's encouraging to you or terrifying, I guess, depends on who those five people are. But there was a big study that started back in the 80s looking at couples who looked like each other. And I'm not just talking about friends or spouses who were maybe similar to you. You know, sometimes we're drawn to people that have similar features or backgrounds. I'm talking about over time, studies found that people who spent a lot of time together actually began to physically resemble each other. Maybe you've seen some of these pictures, some like this couple here. Yeah, look, they look a lot alike. Or this couple here, they've spent years together and they begin to take on the same smile and a lot of the same features even. Or, of course, we have this one here. Many of you know this Dr. Strange here, Benedict Cumberbatch and his wife. And let's be honest, they look a lot alike. This young couple here, they have the same smile, the same hot head tilt. I mean, they just look a lot alike. And then, of course, this is my favorite here. Not only are they dressed alike, but they have the same facial expression and their smile is very similar. See, couples who've been married for decades, they have the same expression sometimes, the same posture, the same mannerisms. And I don't know if it's really true that you begin to look like your spouse, but it raises a really important question. Who is shaping you? Who do you want to look like? Who do you want to look like emotionally, relationally, and most importantly, who do you want to look like spiritually? Because rhythms and relationships are shaping you, whether you realize it or not, because rhythms shape who we're becoming. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. It's the framework that we've used to see the kind of person that all of us hopefully want to be. We've looked at the rhythm of prayer, not just the quick prayer before a meal, or even prayers when we're faced with a situation or circumstance that we need to bring to the Lord, even though those are great. But are we actually in communication with God? We looked at meditating on God's word, not just reading the word, but letting it shape us and form us. We looked last week at gratitude and generosity. And today, as we wrap up, we're going to see the common thread that holds this entire passage together. It's the phrase each other or community. Each week we've been standing together and reading this passage out loud from Romans 12. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but I am going to invite you to read it out loud. Let's read this together. It's going to be on the screens if you need to. Read it off there from Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." And this passage goes on if you read just the rest of it, the verses there. And there's so many examples of what that looks like, to live out this love, this sincere love with each other. Now, there's a couple things I want us to see. You see, while some of the rhythms we've looked at can be done alone, there's almost an assumption in these verses, community. And we see that really community is God's design. In Genesis 2, verse 18, we read these words, "The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." This is actually a good spot to tell you what we're going to be studying next. Next week, we're going to start a new series called Origin Story, a verse-by-verse study through Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. But God didn't want man to be alone. And that isn't just a scripture that applies to weddings, by the way. God never intended any of us to go through life alone. There are no lone rangers in Christ. And that's actually an interesting saying, because if you know anything about the Lone Ranger, he actually didn't go through life alone. He had Tonto, right? In the New Testament, we see how Jesus built a community of disciples and even had a few friends that were part of his inner circle. Matthew 17:1, we read these words. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. See, they were alone together. Jesus spent time, quality time, building community, not just with all the people he came in contact with in the crowds, but close, intimate friends. And in Mark 14:33, we read this. He took Peter, James, and John with him. This is Jesus. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Jesus wanted people to travel through life with. He had community. So I'm not sure why so many of us feel like we don't need to be part of a Christian community. I mean, if we're really shaped by the five people we spend the most time with, I want those people to be shaped by Jesus. And if Jesus didn't do life alone, then neither should we. There's a passage in Acts when the church was just being founded that we often talk about when we talk about community. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Honestly, when I read this, there are parts of this that I love and really excite me, and I wish I had more of, and parts that make me as an introvert a little queasy, right? See, our lives and structures, they might not look today like they did in the New Testament. And so we look at these passages in Acts 2, and while there's certainly, that's an awesome way to live in Christian community, and maybe the best way, most of our lives don't follow those exact patterns. See, Romans 12 shows us the heart of community, the rhythm that shapes us into people who live and love like Jesus. In Romans 12, verse 9, it starts the same way we've looked at every week. It starts with love, right? Love must be sincere. Or as the NLT puts it, don't pretend to love each other, really do it. And really doing it looks like this. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. See, you can't live a Romans 12 life alone. This past week at our growth group, Dwight Phillips, one of our members, shared with us towards the end of our meeting just how much this group had meant to him, how it had helped him on his spiritual journey. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what he shared. He wrote it out for me, and I want to just read you what he wrote. He said, about a year ago, I realized that waking up on Sunday morning, turning on the TV, and watching church alone, I was missing something. I used to go to church, but I allowed the troubles and temptations of this world to sneak up and pull me away. I never left my faith, but I did leave the community. I prayed about this. I wasn't sure I was ready to go to church again, but God knew better. I felt that pull and was guided here to Seymour Christian Church. I was met with open arms and friendly smiles. In a short time, I felt connected. I found resources like Sunday school, growth group, participating in social events that not only have helped me grow in knowledge, but what I needed most, strength through family. I love that, family. I found family here, he said. Some I know a little more and some I still haven't met, but all are a part of it. As a whole, we are that family. The more united we are to each other, the more we can sharpen and encourage each other as you have done for me. And he shared a story about a pastor who invited a man to a house who had stopped going to church to visit. And he was sitting by the hearth and the fire was there, and the pastor silently moved a single coal away from the fire. And as they watched, the isolated coal turned gray and cold, and the man understood, we were never meant to burn alone. And Dwight went on and he said, I'm forever grateful to you as my family in Christ, and most of all to a gracious and merciful God who put me back into the fire. See, it's stories like this that are why we put so much emphasis on groups here at Seymour Christian. So you can come to church and be part of a community. Discipleship can and does happen every Sunday when you sit in church and worship and engage in the message. But it also happens in the moments before service when you connect with each other. It happens when you share with a friend a struggle that you're having or even a praise. It opens the door for us to really live out this passage in Romans 12. There's a phrase that you might have heard in church before, circles, not rows. And it's not that you can't grow in a row. Things like classes and in worship service, you absolutely can. But the Christian life is not meant to be lived out just looking at the back of someone's head. So if you're not part of a group, or if you're not in one of our classes, or you're not connected in some way with other Christians, please consider finding community. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us this. Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Or some translations actually use the word provoke. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That word provoke is actually a word we use when we're talking about something negative usually, right? Like anger, like you provoked me. And here, Paul uses this word ironically. He's saying, look for ways to provoke each other to not to anger, right, but to love and good deeds. And I think even in the church, we don't always provoke each other to love and good deeds. You might actually have several reasons running through your head for why you don't want to engage in Christian community. Maybe you've been hurt by Christians. I know I have. And I've done my fair share of provoking to other things than love. Barna did a study of people who are no longer part of a faith community and found that almost 40% of people who were once involved in church now avoid church or Christians altogether because they had negative personal interactions with Christians or the church. Now, there might be some legitimate reasons for some of those, but 1 in 4 people gave up on following Jesus because they felt the community caused them damage. That's heartbreaking. See, if you've given up on church because you haven't seen people living out these verses in Romans 12, I am sorry. I know it's tough and you might have had real hurt, but let's be the kind of people who are provoking each other to love and good deeds. Because isolation doesn't make you strong. It makes you vulnerable. Isolation doesn't make you strong, it makes you vulnerable. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But community is important for more than just protection from the enemy. Having people you know, really know, and really know you gives us the opportunity to challenge one another. See, most of us don't immediately like that, but it's so easy, especially today, when so much of our interactions are between screens, to fake it. And I heard a preacher once say that God can't heal what you pretend to be. God can't heal what you pretend to be. So we need each other. Whether you've been hurt, nervous, or maybe you just don't want to, I know sometimes it just seems easier to do my own thing. I'm guilty of that. We need to be together. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, wrote this. He said that affection teaches us first to notice, then to endure, then to smile at, then to enjoy, and finally to appreciate the people who happen to be there. See, so often we're looking for the perfect place, the perfect group, or even the perfect church. But there isn't one. That's what makes church such a great place for real community. We're a diverse people. We've got older folks and young folks. We've got those who are well off financially and those who are struggling to make ends meet. We've got introverts and extroverts, Republicans, Democrats, loud, even sometimes obnoxious people, and gentle and sweet. We've got IU fans and Purdue fans, and all of us can live and love together, provoking each other to live out Romans chapter 12. See, when we notice, show kindness, and learn more about people, even the way ones we don't agree with on the surface, we may learn to appreciate them. And that moves us to sincere love. We might also find that as they get to know us, their affection for us and appreciation and their perspective also grows. There was a guy that I knew many years ago. We were at church together and we spent a lot of time together. And he was just one of those guys, we didn't get along very well. We really rubbed each other the wrong way. But as we were spending more and more time together, we eventually came to not only tolerate each other, but to really love each other. When we moved out of state, we were looking for a house, and he said, leave all your stuff, I'll get it packed. And he drove a semi-trailer across the country to be a blessing to us. He helped us move and get it settled in, and we grew to sincerely love each other, and that love provoked him to love and good deeds, and it provoked us to love each other in just a profound way that we never would have expected. See, rhythms aren't about doing more. They're about becoming more together. As I said earlier, it's ironic that this message fell on a day when we're not gathered together. We place a high value on being in person. Now, I know there are circumstances often that we can't do that. Maybe you're homebound or you're not able to get out. But there are ways that we can still experience both the giving and the receiving of sincere love that Paul's laying out here. I mean, even right now, if you're with us at the usual 10 o'clock service time, you can check in with each other in the comments. If you're here and you have a need, maybe it's something physical or something you need to talk about, we're here. We'll keep the chat open for as long as we can, but let's practice hospitality with each other. Let's really share with the Lord's people when we're in need. Maybe you need to confess something. Now, I'm not suggesting that you put it in the comments section, but maybe there's someone in your life, maybe a trusted church leader or a friend or someone who's sitting maybe right next to you right now, someone that you need to be able to walk a little deeper beside, to ask to pray with and for you. See, those prayers are encouragement and accountability that help you to not remain in isolation. So as we close today, I want to leave you with a simple reflection question. What needs to shift in your life to make room for true spiritual community? Maybe that means reaching out instead of isolating. Maybe it means inviting someone to walk beside you in life. Maybe it means taking a step out of your comfort zone to sincerely love someone. Stepping into a community instead of trying to go it alone. If you're watching live and you feel comfortable, share it in the comments. That might actually be a cue for someone else to connect. And if you're not sure what having Christian community could look like, or maybe you just feel lost, type "I need community" right in the chat. And if you need prayer or connection, let us know via message or email. So as we close out this series, let's remember that as we start 2026, growing as a disciple isn't about doing more, it's about becoming more together. Let's be the kind of church, let's be the kind of community that lives out this passage in Romans 12. I want us to read it again here as we close our time together. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that you have given us each other. Even those people that, Lord, sometimes we struggle with, may they be a blessing in our life as we engage in community with each other. God, help us to live out and to be the kind of individuals and the kind of church who's living out this Romans 12, the Romans 12 life of living with one another, of loving each other sincerely, of honoring each other above ourselves. And God, I pray that the world, when they see us in this community, that they would see people who are doing just that. Lord, for those that might be here that feel alone right now, feel like they don't have community, Lord, I ask that something miraculous would happen in their life, that maybe it's the step that they need to take to reach out their hand, or maybe there's a hand that's hearing this right now that needs to reach out to someone else who just needs to experience the love of Christ from another brother or sister. God, help us to be those kind of people. Help us to be the kind of people who are being shaped to be more like you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.